Today's reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23, and that's on page 1152 of the Church Bible. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Lucy. If you're able to keep that Bible reading open, that would be really helpful. We're going to have a think about it. But first, let's pray together, shall we? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for our church family. And thank you for the gift of the bread and the wine. Help us, Lord, to understand a little bit more what it means for us all today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if in your family there are any special objects or gifts that someone in the past in the family has given to you, and maybe like a book or a painting or a special something they've made, that, and when you get it out, you remember that person. Here is one from our family. This is a replica, I've got it here. Of the coronation coach from 1953, a gold coach. It was given by Cherry's granddad to his daughter. And whenever we get it out, it makes Cherry think and remember her granddad. Well, in the church family, we have a special gift given to us by Jesus. Something he gave us to remember him by. And it isn't an object. It is a meal. It is, of course, the bread and the wine. This special meal. And when we gather as church, in particular, when the adults gather together, we often eat and drink together to remember his death. And it's called, in the Bible, it's called the Lord's Supper. And you may also have heard the name we heard before, Holy Communion or Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. And today, we're going to learn about the Lord's Supper and what it means for us. Now, before speaking today, I told a few people what I was going to be speaking about. And one of them said, "Oh, that doesn't sound very exciting for an all-age talk. Maybe you might be thinking that now." But I hope that you will see by the end that this bread and wine is really, really precious. Another person, a young person, said to me, "Why don't children eat it? I want to eat it. Why do you have to wait till you are a bit older?" Well, we're going to see why. And I hope that young people won't be disappointed, but rather excited that hopefully one day, in a not too distant future, you can join in as well. We're going to learn today why Christians eat and drink bread and wine together. For if you think about it, it's quite an unusual thing to do, isn't it? So let's investigate the Bible, which is our manual for describing what we do and why we do it. We're in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and he is going to teach us, when we eat bread and wine, to look in four directions. He's going to teach us to look back, to look forward, to look around, and look within. Do you want to practice all those actions with me? You ready? Look back, look forward, look around, and look within. So first, we are going to look back. So again, look back. The Lord's Supper teaches us to look back to the Last Supper, that special time Jesus had with his disciples just before he went to the cross. And at that Last Supper, he gave us this special gift that we will always keep on doing it. Listen to a bit of our reading again. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new special promise in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So these two things, bread and wine, are a very vivid, special reminder of what Jesus did, that he gave his body and shed his blood on the cross for us. And he wants us to eat and drink when we come together to remember that he died for us. As it says in verse 26, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this is the surprising thing. The thing that the Lord wants us most to remember is not his teaching, important as that is, nor is it his miracles, as amazing as they are, nor even is it his resurrection, as vital and foundational as that is to our faith. Rather, it is his death for us. So here's a question for you to think about now. Why do you think his death is so important? It's this important. Why do you think it's so important? Have a think, and then turn to a neighbor if you'd like to, and share your answer. Why do you think his death is so important? Go for it now. Let me interrupt. Sorry to make it a short one. Now, does somebody wish to share what they said? Yeah, go on, go for it.
We will die and come back as well, but in a different land in heaven.
Okay, brilliant. It reminds us that when we die, if we're trusting in Jesus, trusting in his death, then we will come back to life as well. Anyone else want to add anything? Why do you think his death is so important for us? Want to add anything? Yeah? Without it, she said, we wouldn't be saved. Because it's his death that saves us. It's how God can forgive us, because Jesus died to take the punishment that you and I deserve for our sins. We eat food, don't we? Because our bodies need it to survive. Well, Christians eat the Lord's Supper as our souls need Jesus' death to survive and go to heaven. So, the first thing that we do when we take the Lord's Supper is look back to Jesus' death. We do that again, look back to Jesus' death. But the second thing that we do is look forward. You want to do that? Look forward. Let me read verse 26 again. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You might remember when in the Gospels, Jesus said these words, "For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God comes." So every time we eat and drink, it reminds us we're waiting for Jesus to come back. We eat this little morsel now, but when heaven comes, we'll eat a banquet, says Jesus. Now, hands up if you like Advent calendars. Keep them up if you especially like Advent calendars with chocolate in. Yeah, great. Now, here's a question for you. What do Advent calendars make you think of? Have a chat to your neighbour for a second. What do Advent calendars make you think of? Okay, let's get some answers. What do Advent calendars make you think of? Someone who's not spoken yet. Katie. Yes, that Christmas is coming. And that's why we love them, isn't it? You know, I don't know what it's like in your family, but in ours, we have our breakfast and then we finish it off with a lovely piece of chocolate. And it gets you in that Christmassy feeling. But it's just a tiny little bite. When Christmas comes, there is so much more to eat, isn't there? And the Lord's Supper is a bit like this. It is just a little morsel now that teaches us a banquet is coming. So look forward to Jesus' return. And then thirdly, there it is. Look around. Look around. Should we do the actions? Look around. Great. Oh, verse 26 again. What a great verse this is. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. To proclaim someone is to tell everyone about it. Like, put your hands to your mouth like that and pretend you're proclaiming some great news. The Lord's Supper does that. And that's why it's not something that you do just by yourself or that you do just in your own home. It's something we share with all the church family. It's a public event to proclaim to each other, Jesus died for you. And just for one moment, why don't we just do that to each other? Why don't we proclaim to each other, Jesus died for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus died for you. Go on. Great. Thank you. Well, God uses the Bible to teach us that truth with words, and we've just shared those words to one another. But he also adds baptism and the Lord's Supper as special, vivid things we can touch, special symbols to make his message even more real to our senses. It's a vivid reminder of what Jesus has done. Now, COVID has been hard for many reasons, but one of the things it's been hardest for in church is it stopped us enjoying the Lord's Supper in the proper way. And I used to love it in the old days when sometimes we put the table down in the middle of the church because it's a table, not an altar up in some holy place. And we shared it around and we maybe passed it around to one another. And when you do that, you say to the person that you're passing the bread on to, Jesus died for you, or something like that. Should we do it again? Jesus died for you. Well, I hope that soon, once again, we'll be able to do that. It is a brilliant way to look around. Symbol, look around. Let's do it again. Look around. It reminds us we are part of a church family trusting Jesus together. So, where are we up to? Let's practice our actions, okay? Look back to Jesus' death. Look forward to Jesus' return. And look around to Jesus' family. Now, before we come and look at our last one, we're going to have a short break to sing. Because the Lord's Supper is something that should make us feel really thankful for. It's a great present that Jesus has given to us. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, for this great present. Thank you for dying for us. We're going to sing a song now that gives us the chance to say, thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Let's do that. Let's remind ourselves of the first three actions again. Okay, you ready? Look back to Jesus' death. Look forward to Jesus' return. Look around to Jesus' family. And then finally, look within. look within. Now, when Paul wrote to these Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, he actually had to tell them off. They had been eating the Lord's Supper without thinking. In fact, in verse 20, grown-ups, if you want to look, it says, it's not the Lord's Supper you're eating. He said that they were treating it like, they were treating something precious, like they were scoffing a McDonald's. They were doing things like eating the bread and the wine in little groups when they came to church, not all together. And some were eating lots, and others had nothing to eat and were missing out. And God was not happy at all with what was going on. In fact, there's some quite hard words here in Corinth. He was allowing some bad things to happen to them, to bring them to their senses. Have a listen to verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And for grown-ups, I just want to read from verse 29 as well. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. This is quite hard to hear, isn't it? He is saying, look within before you come and eat and drink. Remember what the bread and the wine signify. They are so precious because they signify Jesus' death for our sins, which is the most precious thing that's ever happened. And when we eat it properly, we are trusting again for him to forgive us. God wants us, when we come to share bread and wine, to say sorry for our sins. Look within and confess your sin. Should we do that? Look within and confess your sin. And it's about sharing together as God's family, which means we also want to say sorry to one another if we've done any things that hurt one another. And we'll have a chance to do that in the words of the peace a bit later on. So it's Jesus' precious gift. We shouldn't eat it scoffing like a McDonald's without thinking, but look within and confess your sin. And it's because of this need to examine ourselves before we eat. This is one of the big reasons why we don't just take part in the Lord's Supper from the youngest age. We need to come to an age when we can understand these things and feel confident about doing this, confident about joining in this public ceremony. Eating the bread and drinking the wine is really the point in time when you're saying, I'm not a Christian because of my parents. I'm a grown-up Christian now. And wine, of course, is a grown-up drink. Now, hands up, any children who would like to drive when you are older. Great, yeah, great, hands down. It's exciting, that thought, isn't it, of being old enough to drive. But if you tried to drive now, it would be dangerous. Your feet might be too short to reach the pedals. You probably won't understand how it all works, and certainly not how other people on the road drive. You're not quite ready. Paul is teaching that the Lord's Supper is dangerous if you eat in an unworthy manner, because you could be guilty of sinning against Christ's body and blood. So you need to be ready. You might need to wait until you are ready. But when you are, it'll be precious, really precious for you. And in fact, there's going to be an opportunity soon to have a special service here for teens and grown-ups to commit themselves to Jesus, a chance to be baptized. Or if your parents baptized you when you were little, a chance to have that confirmed. And this service, which the Bishop of St. Albans is going to come and share with us, is a special way of making a commitment and then joining in with the bread and the wine. And so for those of us who are ready, Jesus is saying, will you eat and drink and trust in my death for you today? Will you do it in a worthy manner? It is a precious, precious gift. It teaches us, should we do it again? To look back to Jesus' death, to look forward to Jesus' return, to look around at Jesus' family and look within and confess our sin. And as we do all of these things, it strengthens our faith. It is a great gift. Let's just have a look again at this present that we received as a family, a slightly closer up look. And if you look carefully, you will see that the wheel is missing there and some of the horses have lost some legs. And that is because it's been played with lots and lots over the last 70 years. It has been used. It hasn't been treated as an ornament. And this is what God wants us to do with the Lord's Supper. Not damage it, but use it and enjoy it. It's not to be treated like a religious ornament. He wants us to eat and drink regularly when we come together. So if you have gone public as a Christian believer through baptism and confirmation, if you're trusting in Jesus today, then join with us in a little while to eat and drink. We're going to do it all together today in an all-age service. Join in looking back to Jesus' death, looking forwards to Jesus' return, looking around to one another, and looking within to confess our sin. Let's pray together now. That would be great. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious, precious gift of bread and wine that you've given for your people to share and enjoy. Help us to do that today, looking back in thanks, looking forward in anticipation, looking around in love, and looking within as we confess our need of your forgiveness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.